Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome, welcome to Verkay Radio, iHeartRadio. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. You know who I am, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. Because when it comes to fear, we're kicking it straight through the door. I'm excited because we live in times where everyone's looking for inspiration. People are looking for better ways to be a better you. And I am fortunate, I am blessed to come across some of the most amazing women in the world. But this time, as I say, I've been blessed to meet someone from the other side of the pond, all the way from UK. This young lady is committed to changing her community and changing women who look like her, who are looking to succeed. Let me introduce you to one and only Demi Lola.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. It's such an honor to be here with you.
Well, the honor is all mine, because when I see women like you who take charge of your life, take charge of what's going on in your community, and taking charge of what's going on in your country, and then leading the charge globally, putting women in positions to win, I'm excited about that. And so let's jump right into it. Give us a little background on where you grew up in your childhood. And
yeah, so I'm of Nigerian descent. So shout out to all the African people listening. Shout out. And you know what? If you're black, you're of African descent, full stop. So, you know, that African pride is real right now. And I was born in Nigeria, and I grew up in, my childhood, as far as I remember, was in Ireland. Yes, the little leprechaun country. And yes, we were one of very few black families in Ireland in the 1990s, as you can imagine, Michael. Not many. Okay. So that came with a lot of interesting experiences.
Yes.
And challenges, being the only black girl in a whole school.
You were the only black child.
The only black little girl in a whole school.
Wait, were you treated as like a token, or were they amazed to see you? Because they see, of course, they see black people on TV, but they got a chance to see a kid. How was that interaction?
It was a bit of both, Michael. It was definitely, there was this tokenism and like fascination. And then on the other side of it, there were, thankfully, there were minority, but there was some, there were some people who were ignorant. As you said, they've just never actually seen a black person in real life. So some of them did have, you know, remarks and not so nice comments at the time. And you know, when you're a child, some of those comments can be hurtful. But thankfully, like, I had really strong, you know, parents and a strong mother who was able to kind of instill in me some confidence and like self-awareness. So it didn't really get to me too much. And I had, you know, a best friend at the time. She was a white Irish girl, and she was very protective of me. So she actually, there was a little boy that said one time, why do you look like you've rolled in mud? Like, you look like you're like full of mud. Like genuinely, that was his comment. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, genuinely, he was actually really deadly serious. But then my Irish friend at the time, like, punched him, which I thought was hilarious. So.
And he wasn't being, in the sad part about it, he wasn't being malicious at all. He
was genuinely like he'd never seen a black person.
Yeah,
like,
he was
why
amazed.
Does your skin look like you rolled in mud? And it's like, oh my God. But yeah, so he got educated real quick. So yeah. So and then when I was 13, I moved to Manchester, UK. And that's where I've been ever since, up to now. Yeah.
Yeah. So born in Nigeria, as yes. a child, migrated to Ireland.
Yes.
And then migrated to the Manchester, UK. How do you like Manchester, UK?
Oh, Manchester is home now. Like, it's literally home, and you know, I love it. It's such a vibrant multicultural city. I think, unfortunately, a few years ago, Manchester was, it went worldwide because of the unfortunate attacks at the Ariana Grande concert at our MEN Arena, Manchester Evening News Arena. So it, that put Manchester like globally, obviously for like not a good reason, but the amount of support and sympathy and empathy and communities coming together worldwide to support the victims was actually amazing. It was amazing to see. So, yeah.
And so, like you say, so you now, so as far as high school, that you were in Manchester by the time, right? Or were you still in Ireland?
Yes. By high school, I was in Manchester, yeah.
Okay. And so what was the biggest lessons you learned from living in Ireland? Playing with the leprechauns.
I love that. Like, oh my gosh. The biggest lesson from Ireland was, do you know what? I actually feel that there was more of a community feeling in Ireland that is actually missing in the UK. Now, the Irish are very, they love community, neighborhoods. You know everyone in your neighborhood. You know everyone in your town. It was like, they still kind of operate like that in their social life, you know. But in the UK, it's really, really different. Everyone is kind of more on their own, minds their business, and not necessarily good.
You can get lost in the sauce in the UK, right? It's the same way here in the US. In the US, you know, a person can really, you know, be living in the community but not know the community, not know them, and you know, which is sad. But you know, we it's sad, but we live in a society where we're taught individualism. Mm-hmm. And the fact we're taught individualism, go for what you have to go for. Be successful for yourself. You know, this is your right. And, you know, it's time for you to be your best you and take what you got to take and make
and
sure
all those
you're
things,
first.
All those things are absolutely correct, but you can't be an island. I mean, you can't necessarily achieve everything by yourself. So that is where people have got it a bit twisted, a bit wrong.
Yeah, we could achieve small things by ourselves, but realistically, when we see images of people who are successful, they have a team behind them. It takes people behind them because no one person can do it all. So it takes a collective of different talents and strengths and skill sets to come together. And so.
Absolutely.
So would you say that's one of your skill sets that you learned for Ireland coming to the UK, just really understanding that if I want to succeed and grow, let me make sure I have the proper people around me so we can definitely accomplish a certain goal?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's why the Irish have got it a bit better in that respect, in that they know the importance of community. So I take that into business lessons as well. The importance of partnerships, collaborations, knowing how, when and how to reach out to others. I just think it's so vital. So that's a big lesson that I've taken away from that. And just the basic fabric and structure of society is family, extended family, friends, neighbors. You need all of them to have a balanced and happy life.
And so, here it is, you're in Manchester, UK. At the point in time you graduated high school, did you go to college, and what was your focus then at that particular time?
So when I finished secondary school, which is what we call high school, then I went to I did go to university, which is what you guys call college. So I went to uni, and I actually trained to be a nurse, so I'm a registered nurse by like profession.
Okay.
So that's what I kind of did. So my focus was on, you know, obviously my nursing studies and just learning how to, you know, care for other people and how to give great quality, you know, healthcare and care to others.
So you decided to become a nurse?
Yes, I mean, I've always kind of been creative and entrepreneurial in that sense, but being that I have Nigerian parents, anyone who has African parents understands, like, you're told, go to school, you have to go to school, you have to get your degree. So Africans don't play when it comes to that. So, I had to follow that.
Yeah, you're right. And that, actually, even here in the U.S., it's been documented that African immigrants are the fastest and highly educated group when they come over here. They're the highly educated group when they come over here. So you definitely, what you said is definitely true to your testament about that. And education is important. It's so important. And I'm just thankful that you decided to take up nursing, because we need people like you, especially during this pandemic time, people who truly have empathy and care for people, who want to see people do better with their health. So I just want to thank you so much for being a part of that, you know?
Yeah, thank you so much. Especially in this pandemic, it's just, and I hope you've been, you know, I hope you've been okay, Michael, during this pandemic, and you've not been affected.
Yeah, when I say I've been affected directly and indirectly, so I'm a post-kidney transplant patient, so I had to be very, very careful with my immune system. So, but I'm doing good. I've got through it all. I have, my dad is in the hospital now, and I've also, unfortunately, I've lost maybe 6-7 family members, you know, cousins who've passed away, and I've lost countless people who mentors, people who I looked up to in the community who are no longer here. So it's definitely something that is serious. It is definitely something that people really need to really come together. And I think, I hate to say it, but people really come together through the protests of George Floyd, when people witness his death right before their eyes. It definitely started a flame that not just touched Minneapolis in the U.S., but, you know, it's going around the world. So it really starts with that vision and mindset. And I just love having a guest like you. You get that vision, you get that mindset, and just have a plan in place. And what we're going to do now, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come right back and hear your amazing story. And we're back on a Get Your Business Right show with Dami Lola from Manchester, UK. And she is going to share with us on how to build her platform. And so let's jump right into it. Tell us about your platform.
Okay, so thank you so much, Michael. Builder is a crowdfunding platform and membership platform, which particularly targets females, girls and women from the, you know, Black, African or Caribbean background. So as long as you have some kind of Black ancestry, even if you're kind of biracial, so if I say brown females, I mean like biracial mixed, then we really want to support and host crowdfunding campaigns from these types of women. Women who want to raise money to start their businesses, to start their own charities, organizations, or even women who want to, they may have personal needs and personal projects that they want to kind of fundraise for.
Yes.
We are also able to host campaigns from these types of women and girls as well. So we know that typically women, when they want to start a business, they are already disadvantaged in that there are so many hurdles females face to try and access funding compared to men. Now, this barrier is made even wider when you're actually a female of color as opposed to a Caucasian female, for example.
Yes.
So things like accessing a bank loan or any sort of institutional financial help is made more difficult when you are an ethnic minority, and statistics have shown this again and again. Even if you want to look for an angel investor or a VC, a venture capitalist, it's very rare that you are opportune to meet the ones that look like us. And therefore, you then have this kind of unconscious and cultural biases that if a woman wants to start a hair care line for black hair, and you're trying to pitch that to a Caucasian man, he's not going to know what the heck you're talking about. He's not going to know why something like that is necessary. Yes. He's not going to feel like there's a market for it, even though we know there is. And you're already shut off and rejected even before you even get off the ground. So it's factors like that. But yet, Black women worldwide, especially in the States, are the fastest growing entrepreneurial group. Statistics have shown this. They are starting businesses and starting their own things faster than any other subgroup. We want to do these things, but the lack of money and finances are preventing us, and that shouldn't be the case. And that is why we started Builder.
And I'm glad you said that. What you shared is actually the reason for the birth of the Get Your Business Right show.
Because I love it.
Because we're all about helping women get into the right environment, reach the right people, and make the right power moves. And so what situation did you encounter that helped you to really get the ball rolling?
Absolutely. Great question, Michael. So I had attended several events, business events and tech events over several years. And there was a common theme. There was a lack of diversity in their speakers. You know, the people who are on stage who are telling us who have, made it to a certain degree and teaching others how they can also do the similar things. And I was at one tech event in particular in Manchester, and there were three white Caucasian men on the stage and a one Caucasian young female. And I was just like, this is exactly what I'm saying. There's a disconnect. So what is happening in our community? Because it's not that Black and brown people are not having tech innovations and starting tech businesses. So what is the issue? Are the organizations and these event organizers, are they not aware of people from our community? Or they're aware, but they don't want to actually give them a stand, give them the opportunities or put them on a pedestal? Or are people in our community just not even in the spaces to have access to those types of people? So there's a disconnect here.
And I believe what you said hit the point. And I'm going to say, I really believe is they don't know a lot of us exist and we're not in those circles. Prime example, I remember several years ago, I went to a big tech conference right in my city in Detroit. And I was me and one other gentleman were the only ones there. And this was a room of at least 200 people.
Yeah.
And so it let me know we're not in the right environments for people to see our talents, see our gifts, and realize, yes, I am qualified to go up to speak. You're qualified to go speak and so forth. And so the fact that narrative isn't being shared because we're not in those circles. And I think from a big thing we know of, racism plays a part, but we also know that if we work hard and stay positive, that nothing can stop us from doing what we need to do because we come from great backgrounds. And so did you deal with any hardships in starting your business? What kind of business did you, number one, what kind of business did you start? And what was the process of you doing that?
So you mean the business I've started now or in the past?
Just in the past, even be now, don't make a difference.
Okay. So, and it's a common theme that particularly people of color, when they do want to start any kind of venture or business, that they start out by putting themselves in a certain degree of debt because they have to take on the financial funding aspects themselves because of these barriers that I've touched on before, lack of access to lot business loans, lack of access to investors, angel investors and VCs and whatnot. So they have to take that burden on personally and or go to friends and family, you know, family individuals, which is also problematic, because if things don't go according to your plans, then you and this family member, there is now strife in the family, you know? There's now there's now misunderstanding, and it's awkward for the family. So even going to your family is not always the best, you know, for them, for one person to like put up all the funds is not always the best situation. And not everyone is actually even opportune to even have a family member that they can go to seek that kind of capital. Do you get what I mean? Not everyone has that. So so typically we're starting off by taking the burden on for ourselves, putting it on credit cards or whatever, whatever, and we're starting out in debt, and it shouldn't be like that. And, you know, that's how I've typically kind of done it in the past. Bootstrapping, we're always forced to bootstrap our way up. And I just felt like, you know, there has to be another way where we can start what we need to start and do what we need to do without getting into necessarily debt because of it.
I love what you just said. It's so important that we get more creative in business, and what you're doing is really setting a new stage, because even here in the US, they've loosened up the restrictions on raising money. It used to be you had to be an accredited investor in order to invest as an angel investor and to invest in the business. And now they have, we have platforms now where you can just put in $50 a month, you're able to invest. Mm-hmm. And so I'm assuming some of those same protocols happen over in the UK. And like you say, why carry all of that burden? Just have a community of people who believe in you, who are willing to invest, if not invest resources. It don't necessarily have to be money, but at least if it's time and it's knowledge, it's resources, things they can share where you can scale your business and take it to the next level. And also, like you say, help other women along the way.
Absolutely. That's exactly
right. Yeah. And so what are some projects that you've helped so far, and kind of share how they come along?
Yeah. So we've just launched our platform in March of this year. So we're now in the beginning of June. So, you know, we're still quite a, you know, new platform, growing steadily. And we're a really small team behind the scenes, and we're wearing different hats in the background. I'm sure you know how it is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we've launched in March, and since then we've had several campaigns. One, most of them are still kind of still going at the moment, if that makes sense, because they can go on for a month. Some can go on for like 2 months. It depends on the individual campaigner, how long they feel like they want to campaign for. We leave that very flexible. So one has just wrapped up, however, and it was a lady who wanted to start a bookkeeping service, particularly for other businesses owned by people of color here in the UK. And she was able to kind of raise the money, like a lot of the money that she needed from that. And, that's just wrapped up, and she's going to give us an update over the next few weeks over her next steps and what she's going to put in place. And just keep, you know, all the people that she, all the people that contributed to her campaign, just keep them updated and keep them aware of, you know, the money that they contributed is actually being used for what she said it would be used for.
And so my next question, I know the listeners are going to want to know this. Is your platform just for women in the UK, or is this a global initiative?
It's definitely a global, international platform. We have had campaigners like submit campaigns from as far as Madagascar, Africa.
Wow.
Like, you know, African countries. We've had a lady in the States as well. Can't remember what state now, but we've had an American lady submit her campaign as well. UK. And so it's open. As long as you identify as you have some, you know, Black origin, even if you're biracial, but you identify as being a Black or brown female, it's definitely open. So there's no location barrier.
And one thing about the world we live in, they will let you know that you're black or brown.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And they're going to let you mistakenly believe you're something other than what you look like. So
yeah,
you're definitely right about that.
Yeah.
But that is absolutely amazing. It's just the fact that helping women position them. And how often do you meet?
Meet with?
With the women in the platform. Do y'all get together and so, share resources so that,
yeah,
so of course, so that way you don't have the same mistake happening to everyone, because before they even started, how do you communicate with the woman to really give them the knowledge and insight to be successful in the scale?
Absolutely. So we have a private members only group. So when you become a member of Builder, when you register with our platform and you either crowdfund with us or you join our monthly membership, you will be added to our private group where you have access to people like myself, the founder, and coaches and mentors and other women in the community who are basically there to keep each other accountable. So once a month we meet, like virtually, we'll have a monthly accountability session, and in that's when we plan what we are going to focus on for the next 4 weeks, for the next one month, and what we really want to achieve in the next month. So that way, because I felt like there are so many times when people who are creative, and I'm sure you will understand this, Michael, you have your mind is swimming with ideas, with questions, because we're just creative entrepreneurial people like that. And it's often that you can't necessarily just go to your friends or your family to ask these questions, especially if they're not in those spaces, because it's not, you know, they're just not in that space. So I've really wanted to have a space where you could ask those questions to each other, and we as a group could support each other, answer those questions, and keep each other accountable month after month to make sure we're staying focused and we're achieving our goals and moving our projects forward, whatever they are.
That's absolutely powerful. We're getting close to the end of the show here. And so just share some key points on what you would love to share with the woman that's going to be listening out there right now. What are some things you want to share to help give them some inspiration, motivation? Because I know there may be some right now who are thinking, I want to start a business, but, you know, I don't have the money. I want to start a business, but I don't have nobody else to talk to who really can understand and feel where I'm coming from. I want to start a business, but I'm a single mother and I just got divorced or I just got out of a bad situation. What would you say to them right now?
Honestly, I would say that the biggest and most disturbing thing that one can have, especially later in life, is regret. Mm. You don't want to have that feeling. It's the worst feeling in the world. So if you know that there's something that you want to do, please, please don't focus on the obstacles that you might be facing. Don't focus on, oh, I'm a mother, how can I make this happen? Like, it's 2020. There are so many women achieving great things and starting great things, and they have kids, and they have a partner, and they have this and that, and so it's definitely possible. And that is why, like, we are here to support you. We are here to, you know, be your sisters. And we are here to coach you and guide you when needed. So if you just have an idea, like, you can still come to us and we'll still be able to help you and support you. But you have to start.
Yes.
You have to start, because you don't want to regret not even trying down the line.
That is powerful right there. And so how can to get in contact with you and your organization?
So if they go to our website, which is www.buildher.co.uk, so that's just build as in to build something, and then her, H-E-R.co.uk, and we are on all social medias, all the major social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, and our handle is @buildhercrowd. We are also on YouTube, so please, like, follow us and watch our videos. We post really helpful content that will help you with crowdfunding. We host interviews with other women who have crowdfunded successfully, such as the woman in the States who crowdfunded a magazine for Black women in the food and wine industry, and she crowdfunded over $30,000. Wow. And she is a mother. She is a mother, and she crowdfunded this magazine because she was a chef, and that was her background. And she wanted a magazine, a space to celebrate other women in her industry. And there was none in the States. So she made that happen. And she got $30,000 to make that happen. So it's possible. It's definitely possible. So just start.
That is absolutely powerful. You have really put a spark in my heart to know that women like you are changing the world. Because for the most part, I believe in every country, a small business really drives the economic machine of really creating sustainable communities, but also thriving communities. And I'm just blessed to meet someone like you you're leading the way. You're making sure that women have the resources, have the things they need in place to get the money and have a platform where they can get the right information. That's so important, getting the right information. And like I said, and having that community right there, that is so powerful. That right there is worth millions upon millions of dollars by itself, because one of the biggest mistakes people have in business is not having the right people giving them the right information. And you're doing this. I thank you so much for positioning and putting women in a power position to make the right power moves.
Thank you so much, Michael. And might I add, for any males that are listening, yes, we do also support, men. And all we ask that you have a female partner or a female on your team that is of, Black descent in some way, and you are definitely welcome. So men are definitely welcome to also crowdfund with us. But you need a woman on your team.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, she must be on the team also. And I'm assuming, like I say, at least be a decision maker also. So I definitely get it. That is absolutely powerful. And you know what? I'm looking forward to having you here again, because you are creating success stories.
Amen. Amen. That's the point.
And so since you're creating success stories, I'm looking to have you on again soon with your success stories.
Yes. Yes to that.
Because that's what we do here on Verk Radio. This Verk Radio, we're all about the power of women right here on Verk Radio coming out of New York City. So I'm excited about what you're doing, and we support you, and we're here for you, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here on the Get Your Business Right show, coming from Verk Radio, New York City, the power of women. We are excited and delighted. Thank you for listening, because without you, there is no me. I love you. God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about it. See you next time.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.